Unit 7. Cultures. Recording 7.1.
How do you prepare people to do business internationally?
How we prepare people to do business internationally really depends on the task that they're undertaking on behalf of their company or organisation. For example, if you're being sent by your company to live and work overseas for a period, say, of 2 or 3 years as an assignee, then we would provide you either with a 1 or 2 day program covering such issues as cultural awareness, practical issues of living in, working in, as well as how to deal with culture shock, which everybody goes through when they go on assignment. We'll also deal with particular issues such as schooling, healthcare, and in particular parts of the world, increasingly with security. However, if, as is the case now, many more people are not actually going to live overseas but have international responsibility, you need a different set of learning tools. And that is, first of all, a general cultural awareness and understanding of how you should really operate when dealing with people with other cultures, teaching you how to negotiate contracts, communication, just generally, whether that's by telephone, by email, or by even by the written word. The words that you choose have a very different effect on the recipient, depending on which culture you're conversing with. Another important area these days is presentation skills. In the past, it's been assumed that you use the same presentation from your home country when presenting to a multicultural audience. That's very much not the case. And we teach people, even down to the kind of words you use on the slides, the colours you use, and indeed how to deal with questions and answers and manage your audience, because of course in different cultures there's a different response. Finally, it's very important, we believe here at Farnham Castle, to underpin all this with some ability to communicate in the host language. Whilst English is still very much regarded as the international language of business, it is increasingly expected that people will make at least some effort and attempt to learn the language of the people that they're dealing with. Particularly in a social environment, it really demonstrates an interest and an affinity with the people that you're trying to build relationships with. And of course, business is all about building relationships.
Recording 7.2.
And are there certain skills and techniques for doing business internationally which could be applied in any culture?
I think rather than skills and techniques, there are some very strong personality traits that those people who tend to be more successful in an international business environment tend to demonstrate. For example, flexibility and adaptability would be a particularly strong requirement. The ability to observe, participate in something, and adapt your own set of skills and knowledge and your own way of doing things to actually listen more carefully would be another strong trait that you really ought to demonstrate. Adaptability, listening, and I think really to take an approach with a very positive attitude. I think anybody who approaches cultural issues with a very negative attitude will get a very negative response from the people they're trying to do business with.
Recording 7.3.
And can you give us examples of typical cultural mistakes made by people doing business internationally?
There are lots of quoted examples, and I think they're really to do with attitudes, particular facets of cultures. For example, time would be a very important cultural aspect that you really do have to learn. If you're from a Western culture, then how you do approach time and how you do business, for example, in a country like Saudi Arabia, would be very important. Other examples are really attitudes to hierarchy. For example, there are many US corporations who have very young, high-flying business, very successful business executives. For example, if you send one of those individuals to meet and do business with a senior Asian business person, again, Japan comes to mind, then they'll be met with a very distinctly negative response. And what indeed will happen is that the senior Asian business person will see this very much as an insult, probably either leave the meeting or refuse to attend the meeting, and will actually send somebody who they think is of equal status and age to negotiate with that individual. And because that lower individual, junior, more junior individual, doesn't have the authority, then you're very unlikely to achieve anything out of that meeting.
Recording 7.4. 1.
I was thrown in at the deep end when my company sent me to run the German office. I was only given 2 days' notice to prepare.
2.
We don't see eye to eye about relocating the factory. The finance director wants to move production to the Far East, but I want it to remain in Spain.
3.
I got into hot water with my boss for wearing casual clothes to the meeting with our Milanese customers.
4.
Small talk is one way to break the ice when meeting someone for the first time.
5.
I really put my foot in it when I met our Japanese partner. Because I was nervous, I said, "Who are you?" rather than "How are you?"
6.
I get on like a house on fire with our Polish agent. We like the same things and have the same sense of humour.
7.
When I visited China for the first time, I was like a fish out of water. Everything was so different, and I couldn't read any of the signs.
8.
My first meeting with our overseas clients was a real eye-opener. I had not seen that style of negotiation before.
Recording 7.5.
So, where did you go for your summer holiday?
Italy.
Did you have a good time?
Yes, it was okay.
And which part of Italy did you go to?
Tuscany.
I went to Pisa. Really enjoyed it. What did you think of it?
Nothing special.
Oh, right. So, how's it going at work?
We're really busy.
That's really good, isn't it?
I don't know about that.
Recording 7.6. 1.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
2.
I'm sorry, I'm afraid I'm going to the opera on Tuesday.
3.
Not for me, thanks. I'm not very keen on fish.
4.
I'm sorry, I really must get going. It was really nice talking to you.
5.
Welcome to our headquarters.
6.
Michael, can I introduce you to John Perry? John's over from the States. John, this is Michael Andrews, my boss.
7.
Let me get this.
8.
Here's to our future success.
9.
I'm very sorry to hear about what happened.
10.
I'm sorry I'm late. The traffic was terrible.
Recording 7.7.
Is this your first visit to the Far East?
No, I come here quite often.
Oh, really? What do you do?
I'm the marketing director for a small import-export company.
How long have you been there?
Nearly 10 years.
Have you been to Hong Kong before?
No, this is my first trip.
Business or pleasure?
Business, I'm afraid.
How long have you been here?
A week.
And how long are you staying?
Till tomorrow night.
Where are you staying?
At the Peninsula Hotel.
What's the food like?
It's very good, but eating at the Peninsula can be quite expensive.
So, what do you think of Hong Kong?
I really like it. There's so much to do.
Recording 7.8.
I'll talk first about building relationships with the Chinese, then move on to suitable conversation topics. After that, I'll comment on gift-giving, and finally, mention a couple of points to think about when dealing with Chinese visitors. It's important to remember that business relationships with the Chinese are built on personal trust and respect. Everything you do during visits must show that you consider your visitors to be important people. Developing a personal relationship and having a good social program will often be more important than a business meeting. Remember that status is important. The most senior person may not speak English as well as other more junior members of the group. However, you should pay careful attention to everything that person says. Make an effort to learn and use a few words in Chinese. Your visitors will appreciate this. If there's someone in your company who speaks Chinese, it may be better to use that person instead of a professional interpreter. It will be cheaper, and the Chinese may trust a company member of staff more quickly. Be careful about topics for discussion at social events. Don't embarrass visitors by introducing difficult topics. They will be eager to learn about life in your country and about its culture. Now, a word about gifts. Chinese people will often refuse a gift a number of times before finally accepting. Don't offer anything that's too expensive. Give similar gifts to people who are at the same level of importance. Wrap your gifts in red paper, which is considered a lucky colour. Chinese people will appreciate any famous brand of the country they're visiting. Punctuality is very important. They expect people to arrive on time for a meeting. To arrive late shows a lack of respect. Sincerity is highly valued by the Chinese.